Today we're going to be in continuing in our series of Mark. I mean, boy, we've been going through a lot with Mark. He has kind of really been walking us through the life of Jesus, just as well as all the other Gospels do. It takes a different perspective and loves to show the authority that Jesus has in this world. The authority over sin, authority over Satan, the demons, the power, and the darkness of this world, that Jesus has authority over that. He even was, in his teachings, was he was proving him to be the Messiah to not just the Pharisees, but also to everybody else. They had kind of grown accustomed to just kind of walking through their religion, we'll call it that, by doing their ritualistic sacrifices every year as often as they needed to. And they were just kind of going through that ritualistically. It wasn't that desire to actually be that worship to God, giving of their tithes. The Pharisees were even giving their tithes, you know, as a show of, hey, look, you know, this is, you know, I'm going to give this much. I mean, they would show up with sacks of money showing up and then, you know, in front of the whole church, just dropping it in the offering plates to prove and show that the rest of the church and the congregation or the people that how wealthy they were and how much God had blessed them. And it's Jesus is trying to show them. He's like, look, I'm here to start something brand new. I'm coming into this world to start something that is going to be life changing for you. And so Jesus, the whole time as he's talking about that. And last week, Jeff preached on the parable of the sower and the seed. And how there's four different kinds of soils. There's the rocky, the hard soil, the ones where it lands on the path. And then there's also the rocky soil that kind of creates a little bit of a root, but and then it just it can you can pull it out really easily. And then there's also that the seed that falls on among the thorns that it gets some root, but then the thorns choke it out. And so we looked at how the different hearts, you know, that you have your hard hearts, you have a shallow heart, but and then you also have a distracted heart. And so he's talking about those three hearts, but and then the last one he talks about is the only one that actually can actually has fruit, that produces fruit because it lands on good soil. And the question that was asked for us was, okay, what heart are you? You know, and I kind of thought, okay, with, you know, our life group with the teenagers, you know, we said, okay, I'm actually going to ask the question, you know, and have them kind of verbalize it and say, hey, this is where I'm at. Because if we don't verbalize it, if we don't make it known that which heart we are, we're not going to know how to proceed to get to this, the heart with the good soil. And so we started talking about it, and I'm not going to share what they shared, but, I mean, for me, it was even a gut check of, okay, which heart am I, you know? I always thought, well, okay, obviously I'm a pastor of the church, so obviously I have good soil. But when you start to pray about it and ask God to kind of reveal those things to you, you're like, oh, shoot, I'm not as fruitful of a soil as I thought I was. You know, and I hope that you did the same thing this week, too, as you looked at where you're at in your heart. Which one are you? Are you distracted? Are you the shallow? Are you the one that's hard? I mean, I don't want to proceed any further without saying this. If maybe you're here this morning and you're like, you've never had a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's like you've been trying to push him aside as much as you possibly can. You've tried to say, you know what, I'm going to do this on my own. I'm going to do this on my own. I don't need God in my life. You know, but in reality, it's Jesus wants our hearts. He really wants our hearts. He wants to do something in your life that when we step back and we look, we can't point it anywhere else other than it's God doing the work in us. He wants our hearts so that he can mold those and use our hearts to create a masterpiece, something that's beautiful, something that's marvelous. But not only that, but he also wants our hearts so that we can make a difference in this world. See, we talked about that last week. Maybe you're here this morning or maybe even watching online, just if you have never accepted Christ and your heart is that hard heart. That you throw out the seed and it just lands on the pathway. We even talked about this in our life group on Thursday. Was, you know, you think about it, it says it lands on the path. It says that it lands on the path. Back in those days, they did not have asphalt or concrete roads like we do today. But these were pathways that people would walk continuously. And the more that you trample on dirt, the harder it gets. And you land, you throw it out onto the pathway, and it's there's no root. It's not going to go into the soil. It's not going to get rained on or get the moisture that it needs from the soil. It's just going to stay on the surface, and then, of course, birds are going to come, and they're going to pluck it up. And if your heart is like that, then can I just say, Jesus wants to do something with your heart. He wants you to give your heart over to Him. He wants you to come and believe in Jesus. You know, the rest of us here, we've all made choices in our life that has led us to that point to saying, man, my heart was hard. It was calloused over. I just did not want Jesus in. But then when we saw our desperate need for Jesus, we accepted Him. And what we want nothing less from you is that you would have the same kind of transformation that we have had in our lives because of what Jesus did for us. See, so our hearts is a big deal. So as Jeff talked about that last week, Jesus is going to be talking about some more parables. But before we jump in, and we're going to be in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 21 all the way through 34. And if you don't have a Bible, there's some at the end of the rows. Grab one of those. It's page 490 is where we're going to be starting at. Mark chapter 4, and before we read it, I want to kind of give you kind of a recap to help us look and have an understanding of this passage. Jesus, at the beginning of Mark, and as we looked at last week, is that Jesus, He's addressing this giant crowd. We don't know how many people were there. It got even so many people that Jesus actually had to get out on the boat and pull away from the shore because the crowd was just too big. So you got a massive crowd that's following Jesus. You got a lot of these people, and Jesus starts to talk to them about these parables. He talks to them about the parable of the sower, and believe it or not, the text even says that a large number of the crowd had left. That it was only left the 12 disciples and a few others who decided to stay. Everybody else decided, hey, I'm just going to come for the free meal, you know. And so Jesus takes the little that he had, the people who were actually said, you know what, I really want to know more about this. I really want to understand this. I'm curious. Teach me more. The disciples were there, ready to learn and have a different understanding. And so Jesus starts to talk to them. And he actually dives in and he gives them the explanation of, you know, these are the different hearts. This is the one that actually produces soil. And I love it because he ends with the one that has the good soil at the very end. Because now he's going to jump in, and this is the text that we're going to be looking at today, is that Jesus is looking at, he's talking about the people with a good heart, and then he says, now that you have a good heart, if you do have a good heart with a good soil that's ready to reproduce, this is either what's expected of you or how you can be able to live your life to be able to produce that fruit. And so in our text, let's look at what he says. Starting in verse 21. And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to him, or said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Verse 26, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and he sleeps and rises day and night. and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. And the earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Verse 30, and he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. Yet it is sown, it grows and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nest in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear. And he did not speak to them without parables, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Jesus, in verse 24, he starts out and he says, and he said to them, is a lamp brought and put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? Now, I'm no rocket scientist, mind you, okay? I only have a bachelor's degree in youth ministry. That does not qualify me to be a rocket science for a long shot. But even me, as not as educated as a rocket scientist per se, I can have the understanding of knowing that if I'm going to put a basket or a lamp under a bed, it is not going to produce the light that you're hoping for. It's just not. I mean, what good is a flashlight if I have a black cover on the lens? It's just not going to work. And Jesus, he's kind of like using that for us as like an illustration. Because Jesus, when he's talking in this parable, he's using himself, referring to himself as the light. And in John 8, verse 12, this is how Jesus talks to himself and referring to himself as the light. He says, and Jesus, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have light of life. Speaking of himself. John 9, 5 even goes, and he continues on and he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus is saying that if you put a basket over the lamp, it's not going to produce light. We, as believers, we are the light of the world. Matthew says that we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. See, we are the light of the world. We have Jesus living inside of us. He has set us free from the sins of our life. Jesus is the light of the world that has come to set captives free. But all too often, church, that we decide, hey, you know what, I'm going to put this lamp, this light, Jesus, I'm going to put him to where nobody else can see him. I'm going to hide him. I'm going to cover him up. I'm going to keep it secret. I'm going to keep it to myself. Jesus, in verse 24, he said, and pay attention to what you hear, whatever measure, no, I'm sorry, 22, verse 22, for nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. Jesus is saying that like something so precious, it's, you know, women, I'll bring you guys out. I don't understand it, probably never will, but you buy these expensive jewelry, and then half the time it sits in a jewelry box in your bedroom. Expensive jewelry that you're like, man, you got to wear it. You got to show it off to the world. And you put it on occasionally and you show it to the world. You make it manifest to everyone else in appropriate times. Let me even put it this way. As parents, it's only July, but I'll bring up Christmas, okay? Christmas in July. We're already starting to see Christmas commercials from retail establishments for Christmas anyway. So why not? It fits the occasion. We buy presents and then we put them in a secret place. We even wrap the presents so that our kids won't know what it is until Christmas morning when they open it up and they're surprised and they're, yay, they're excited about it. You see, Jesus wants us to be able to live out our lives as a light to this dark world, not just on certain occasions. See, as a light, you want it to stand where everybody can see it. You want to put it to where it gives the most light possible to that house. Jesus is saying he wants us to live out our lives representing Christ, sharing others all the time. You see, this is what we can learn from and observe from this single parable right here, and this was going to open up us to what we're going to be talking about today of kingdom expansion. There's a kingdom. God's kingdom is great. We're going to look at that later. But see, there's an expanding kingdom. It's continuously expanding. And God's kingdom can only be, or kingdom expansion happens by being revealed. If we don't share Christ with this lost world, nobody's ever going to know about Christ. God's kingdom, if nobody shared their faith, would probably be way, way, way smaller than what it is. God's kingdom is expanded by being revealed. That's what Jesus wants us to know and look through this passage. God has given us gifts and abilities. He's given us mouths to speak with. He's given us ears to hear. Even in verse 24, and he said, pay attention to what you hear. With what measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For the one who has will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. We have been given gifts, church. We have been given grace by God. Our lives have been drastically, I hope they've been drastically transformed since the time that we accepted Christ as our own personal Lord and Savior. We've been given that opportunity to have that testimony to share with this world of what God has done in our lives. But he says the same measure that you measure with is going to be measured unto you. I mean, if we're quiet about our faith, you think God's going to bring people into your life for you to share your faith with if you're constantly keeping it quiet and you're saying, no, I'm not going to share it. I don't want to share it. No, obviously not. But too often in the church, what we end up doing is we don't say anything. We don't share our faith because we're out of fear of saying, well, I just don't know how they're going to take it. I don't know what to say. So in that case, I'm just going to leave it up to the seminary-trained pastors and leaders within the church. I'm going to leave it up to them to take care of that. Church, and we miss out on that opportunity to be able to see somebody come to know Christ, just even through our own personal testimony. See, God has given us that opportunity to be able to share the faith with others around us, those who need to hear it and be able to grow from it. See, what measure you measure with is what's going to be measured unto you. I mean, authentic life, this is not you. I mean, this is awesome to hear and just constantly hear of people saying, man, I share my faith with this person this week. Or I shared my faith with this person, not somebody I didn't even know. I was just helping them get their battery started and we just started talking about Jesus. I mean, I constantly hear those conversations and people sharing those things with me. And to be honest, like as you, one of your pastors, that's hugely, very exciting to hear you guys talk about that. It's amazing. I mean, can I even charge or challenge you to like, man, let's just not stop there. Let's just do it more. Because there's a long way to go before all of Tucson comes to know Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior. I believe it. There's a long way to go. But church, you're rocking it out of sharing your faith with those around you. Don't stop. Keep going. Do it more. Because we are the light of the world. We have Jesus. We have the light living inside of us. The light of Jesus. That can bring about transformation in people's lives. To make a huge difference. You see, in Jesus, he talks about how even in this kingdom expansion, that there's this kingdom that's expanding, and you know that we as a church, God's going to get his way whether with or without our help. His kingdom is going to expand with or without us. It's just the brutal truth. But the beautiful part about it is that in this idea of kingdom expansion, that we have a part, that he gives us the opportunity to be a part of it. He gives us the opportunity to be a part of something that is much greater than ourselves, something that is much greater, that has much bigger impact than we could ever do ourselves. And so he goes into this parable of the seed in verse 26, and he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter the seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day. And the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. And the earth produces by itself first a blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he once puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." I'm no farmer either. I've worked with a farmer. Those guys are hard workers. The guy I worked with was 80 years old. I couldn't even keep up with him baling hay. Granted, he was driving the tractor and I was stacking them on the trailer, so you know that worked out in my favor. But back in these days, they didn't have any kind of tractors. They didn't have any kind of machinery that did all the work for them. They had an ox, they had a plow, and then they had their bag to throw their seed. As a matter of fact, even looking into the farmers and what they would do is they would start to plow, and the ox would be pulling a plow, and they're trying to pull this plow through the dirt to kind of get it turned and easy so that the seeds would be able to get into the soil. And most of the time, those plows would even break because the ground was just so hard. They would even say that it was a joke. Either, okay, you're looking at the ox is going to break, the plow is going to break, or the farmer's back's going to break. One of those things is going to break in this season of plowing and planting the seed. And they're doing that. It's gruesome work. It's very hard work. And then after they get it all plowed and the land is all turned and ready to receive a seed, what they would do is they would just grab a seed and they would just throw it. They scatter it. They would just take it out of a bag and scatter it. Not like today, you go to the cornfields and it's all nice in a row. You know, one seed goes here, one seed there, and it's like perfectly aligned and everything. No, this is just like, okay, you know, all over the place. That's how they would do it. And Jesus, here as he's talking to the farmer, he's making it, bringing it down to their level so that they would be able to understand. The kingdom of heaven is, the kingdom of God is as if a man would scatter the seeds. You see, church, the seed is, of course, the word of God, the gospel, and spreading that out and sharing that with people. Sharing it with all of those around us. Scattering it out. I don't care who you are, just, I'm going to share it with you. Scattering it out. He's sharing that with us, and he's saying that in this view of kingdom expansion, that you get to have a part of it, because he says that the farmer, after he's done throwing the seed out, now all he has to do is just sit back and wait. Sit back and wait and watch the seeds produce its fruit. I mean, it just blows my mind that something that is dead can produce life. A dead seed can produce life. I don't understand it. I'm sure farmers don't even understand it either. Maybe somebody does, but I haven't met them yet, and I haven't asked them that question. But see, it's just marvelous how something that is dead produces life. You know, the farmer doesn't even know, okay, what's my crop going to look like this year? Is it going to be a 30? Is it going to be a 60? Is it going to be 100-fold? Or is it even going to be that at all? What's it going to be? And all it is up to them is just to, okay, I'm just going to keep doing what I do. I'm just going to keep going out there, pulling weeds. I'm going to keep, you know, doing what I have to do to make sure that this crop actually grows and actually produces something. Keep going out there. And see, as a church, again, we have that seed that to share with the people. The gospel of Jesus Christ, our story, our testimony to share with others. You know, and sometimes we just kind of get all wrapped up and we say, man, this person needs to come to know Christ as their own person. They need to. Yes, they do. But it may be that God is not going to use you to make that happen. He just might be saying, you know what? I just want you to share, plant that seed in his heart. And then by prayer and just waiting, how? We don't know, but just waiting and just seeing what God is going to be able to produce out of that, that somebody else later along the line in their life will be able to come along and then start watering that plant or that seed that you planted years back probably, and then they'd be able to accept Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior. And then you get to be a part of that life transformation. If you had never shared the seed, that other person would have probably had to plant the seed when you had planted the seed. You see, as a church, we don't understand how this is going to happen. Sometimes, yes, that when we plant the seed and that we share our faith, that, I mean, hopefully that people would come to know Christ and that they would accept him as their own personal Lord and Savior. But the reality is sometimes they won't. We just have to be faithful to continue to keep sharing. And saying, God, use me to produce a fruit in this person's life. Use me. Don't give up when you don't see the results that you're hoping for. Don't give up. Continue to share your faith with others. Continue to open up about that. I mean, kingdom expansion gives us the opportunity to be able to be a part of it. It gives us the opportunity. But sometimes, you know, we feel like we're all alone. We feel like you're all alone when you're just saying, man, you know what? I've tried to reach this person. I've tried to reach it, and there's nothing. I feel like I'm all alone in this Christian walk. I feel like I'm all alone as the only one who's sharing my faith with other people. But church, can I say that is the farthest thing from the truth? And Jesus, he kind of gives us like a glimpse of the greater picture that we're a part of. And that is this, is that kingdom expansion started small, but now it's immeasurably greater. It started small, and it's gotten immeasurably bigger. Jesus was pointing out is that, you know what, this kingdom expansion is, you know, this is the kingdom right here, the people that I'm talking to. It's probably maybe a crowd this size, maybe bigger. But that Jesus was talking to them and saying, man, this is the kingdom. It's expanded. You think about it. The kingdom started with Jesus. Started out with one man, Jesus. Then it goes to 13, including the 12 disciples. Then you get 120 disciples after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then by God's grace, we get 3,000 people come to know Christ at the day of Pentecost. But church, let's not stop there. Today, we are billions of people in the kingdom of God. And yes, I said billions with a B. Billions of people in the kingdom of God. We're not alone on this mission of sharing the faith with those around us. We're not alone. We have billions of people coming to know Christ. You know, even I think it was even the last numbers that I had heard was that in China, a country that is close to the gospel of Jesus Christ, 30,000 plus people are coming to know Christ every day in China. a country that is closed. I mean, does that just not put goosebumps on your back? Like, I mean, 30 plus thousand people are coming to know Christ every single day in China, a country that is under Christian persecution more than what we are today. And yet, here we are. Church, we're a part of something that is massive. See, Jesus used the parable and he says, what parable will we compare the kingdom of God to? What parable? Almost like he's asking the disciples, hey, what do you guys think? What kind of parable are we going to use to compare this to the kingdom of God? You know, like asking them like they're going to give a brilliant response. You know, but Jesus steps up and he says, yeah, I get it. I got it. This is what we're going to compare it to. Compare it to a mustard seed. If you ever look at a mustard seed, it's the size of a grain of sand. It's the size of a grain of sand. And just go home and look up mustard trees. I mean, these trees are massive, massive trees. A seed that is as small as a grain of sand produces this tree that is one of the largest trees in the garden. A massive tree. And Jesus says, he's like, that's what the kingdom of God is. He said, it started out small, yes, but now it is huge. It is big. And then he says that even the fowls of the air, the birds of the air, will nest under its shade and nest into it and be able to live into that tree and nest in there, make it their home. And he's saying that the kingdom of God just is not for us. The kingdom of God just is not for you and me. This kingdom of God is for all people. Of all nations, all tongues, all colors, all races. That's what the kingdom is for everyone. And that some scholars have even said that, like, when Jesus was referring to the birds of the air and being able to make their nests, is that was referring to, like, your Gentiles and your Galileans, the people who were not the Jews. Or even a Jew descendant that grew up in that religious heritage that Israel had grown under. That this is for the Gentiles, people outside of who we are. That's who it's for. It's for everyone, not just you and me. The kingdom is so much greater than we could ever imagine. It's almost kind of like a puzzle. Have you ever put together a puzzle? Jennifer loves to put together puzzles. I don't understand why it's fun for her. I get bored. I get bored real quick. Sometimes I like to take the last piece, hide it, and then I'd be like, oh, hey, I put the last piece on. I did actually do that, and everybody got mad at me. So I've learned my lesson there. See, it's almost like a puzzle. It's almost like a puzzle. You start out with something that is just a pile of pieces just kind of thrown in there. And the more you put one piece together, match it up with all the other ones, you start to get a nice looking picture. You start to get a nice looking picture. And I think of it as this way, as like the big puzzle piece. That's a kingdom of God. It's God's kingdom, the full picture of what we're looking to put together when we're putting together this puzzle. That's the kingdom of God. And really, when you look at it, it's you and I are just one of those pieces to make that bigger picture possible. It wouldn't be able to work without it. But when you put it in there and you make it fit, that it produces this beautiful, beautiful picture. And for us, it's awesome to think that, man, I'm just one piece, one small piece in the part of a greater kingdom puzzle. I'm just one small, minute, insignificant little piece in a greater kingdom puzzle. God's called us to this mission of kingdom expansion, church. He's called you and me to be a part of that, of sharing our faith, being the light of the gospel to the lost in dark world. He's called us to be that. He's called us to be that here in Tucson. He's placed us where we are for a purpose, to be the light. And by the way that we live out our faith to others, can lead somebody to Christ. Living out that light. Don't cover your light with a bucket. If you do, it's going to asphyxiate the flame. It's going to go out. If we hide our flame, then it's going to go out and we aren't going to want to share it with others. Don't let your flame go out. Bring it out into the light. Let it burn continuously. Live out Christ to others. And if you're here this morning and if you do not know Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, even if you're watching online, I want you to know that you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can have a relationship with God to be able to make a difference, and He wants to use you to be a part of this greater kingdom puzzle. There's something great, bigger and greater out there than we could ever imagine. There is something out there that God is waiting to use you and me to be a part of. And He wants to do that with you. And if you have never accepted Christ, but you say, man, I want to be a part of something that's bigger than I am, then this is for you. Jesus wants to use you. He wants your heart. He wants that good soil to produce fruit. He wants that for you. And if you say, I need to know Christ as my own personal Lord and Savior, please do not hesitate to come talk to me afterwards. If you're online, please reach out to us. Send us a Facebook message, whatever it may be, and saying, I want to know Christ, and we can be able to sit down and have a conversation with you of what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not a religion, a relationship with Jesus Christ. And be able to live your life for a much greater purpose than you right now. That's what He wants for you. In church, how many of us have actually put the bucket over the flame? How many of us have said, I'm not going to share my faith? And said, I'm just scared. I'm terrified. I don't know what to say. If you've kind of put it over that, just I want to challenge you this morning. Please confess that to God and say, God, I want to be able to share my faith with you, with others. I want to share my faith with those who need to know Christ. Confess to Him the reasons of why you're not sharing your faith. And I believe this 100% is that He will make that known to you and be able to work with you in that and to say, hey, let's work on this together. By reading His Word, praying, and He's going to reveal that to you to make that known. Of sharing your faith with those around you. Maybe you're saying, you know what? What was the point of all this message? Because I've been actually sharing my faith with people, and you know, I've just been doing that. Yeah, it's getting kind of, you know, discouraging sometimes. You know, use this as an encouragement to say, man, God is using you right now. The person that you're talking to, maybe they've have not accepted Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior, but just continue to pray and believe and trust that He will reach their soul. That He will be able to make a difference. And that if it's not you that's going to lead this person to Christ, pray that somebody would come into their life to be able to water that seed that you have been able to plant and to make a difference. It will make a difference. You know, it was funny. We were just, Jennifer and I were talking, and we said, you know what? I think our neighbors are going to be one of those that's going to take years to witness to. Didn't we? We had that conversation. And then, believe it or not, I think it was like the day after, day or two after, Jennifer sits down with Melissa and she tells her, hey, I accepted Christ a while back. And we were just like, wow. Like, God used us to make a difference in her life by the way that we lived our lives. And just talking to her, sharing our faith with her, with them, that she gave her life to Christ. That's huge. You know, and it's like, I could have probably gotten a little upset or just, you know, discouraged and saying, man, I was not there to be a part of that. Like, this is, what's going on, God? Why wasn't I there to share it with her and just to be able to experience that with her? Man, but I'm still so excited that she accepted Christ as her own personal Lord and Savior, that she's now living it in faith of knowing that if she were to die tonight, that she would go to heaven and be with all of us in heaven one day. I don't want to hold that over my head and say, man, I should have been a part of that. You know, I was a part of that. And that's what gives me joy, is that I was able to be a part of that by the way that we lived our lives in sharing the gospel with our friends, our neighbors, the people that we love dearly. And that they, God is molding in their hearts, you know, that relationship with Him. God wants to do that with you, church. Do not give up on sharing your faith with others. He's called us here. He's called us to a mission of sharing our faith with those around us. And again, kingdom expansion happens by being revealed. It's not going to be revealed on its own. Like, we have to be able to share it with others. Don't hide it. Start living it out before others. Kingdom expansion also gives us the opportunity to be a part of it. He gives us the opportunity. Like, we've been granted the opportunity to be a part of something that is just so great, so awesome, and something that is bigger than we could have ever imagined. And take heart, church, is that kingdom expansion started small, but now it is huge. It's immeasurable. It's immeasurable, and it's just going to keep on getting bigger. Like, we're a part of that. We're a part of that. Let's be the light of the gospel to the people.